didn't pick. Good morning. For the benefit of our visitors, I'm not the evangelist here. My name is Derek Abeda, and the evangelist here, Mike Bozeman. I'd like to thank him for giving up his time this morning. I'd just like to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to bring you the Word of God. I'm confident many would agree the clothes we wear send a message to those who see us. As seen in Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 10, the promiscuous woman who set a trap for a simple young man who was void of understanding knew what kind of clothing to wear to entice her victim. When they met, she was wearing the attire of a harlot. Today, we've all become victims of the prostitution of advertising agencies. Everything from toothpaste to sodas, health spa memberships to cars, is sold through the lewd and sexual enticing commercials and the images where the models and the actors, they're scantily clad, revealing far, far too much. These displays of near nudity have become so commonplace that our children view it as normal. It's a normal part of life to see these images. If you oppose what your children want to wear, have you ever heard, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with it"? You think maybe it's because of the fact that all these images and in commercials and advertising that we see in our television, at the movies, on radio, has calloused our children? Fellow Christians, it's bear season. Bear season, 24/7, 365 days a year. And no, not that type of bear. We must be concerned with modesty, preserving our influence for good, and most importantly, we need to be pleasing to our Lord. We are an example, a walking and talking billboard, if you would, that it should exhibit and display godliness rather than displaying our worldly nature in order that we might project our own human physiques. Apparel is unique depending on the part of the world that you live. As we see here, we have many different types of dress. But sadly enough, if you go to these parts of the world, you may not necessarily see them wearing it because we've westernized. We've civilized, if you would, the rest of the world. Traditions, professions, employees, fads, etc. can also dictate the type of clothes that we wear. You know, man understands the importance of our attire. They establish dress codes in our contracts and our bylaws and so forth. And some of these professional athletes and military members, police officers and so forth, they are subject to that clause, if you would, of how to present themselves because they are presenting a particular organization, a particular function. And if at a Paris and a New York or Los Angeles fashion show, the designers determined that a fully clothed model would be in fashion, everyone would be dressed accordingly. Trendiness is very powerful. The pressure to conform is incredible. You can make a diamond out of the pressure. But the question arises, who should set the standard? Who should set the standards? As Christians, our first answer should always be, well, what does the Word of God have to say about this particular subject? And in this case, what does it have to say about what we wear? In the beginning, nakedness was not an issue. We turn to Genesis 2:25. We see, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But it all changed when Eve and Adam fell to the temptation of Satan in Genesis 3, 5 through 11. We see, for God knows that in the day you eat of your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that there was a tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Their eyes were opened, knowing good and evil. Innocence was lost. The first thing, the very first thing that they noticed was that they were naked. They were filled with shame. They were shameful. So they made fig leaves to cover themselves. Shame and fear were the first fruits of sin. Does nakedness continue to produce that same effect today? Sadly to say, for the vast majority of people, shame is no longer felt, or at least it's a little concern. Look at how the world is dressing. It was discussed here not long ago that we need to have a sense of shame. We need to return to that sense of shame. We need to instill this into our children. Some don't pay much attention to what their kids wear because, well, they are kids. A couple weekends ago, we were at the park up in New Hampshire. He had a 5-6-year-old at the park running around naked. Parents were oblivious. They were standing right there, but that was okay. Some people say, well, they'll worry about that, teaching it to the kids, when they hit the teenage years. We'll teach them about modesty then. That's when we do it. This is too late. Do we wait to teach discipline until they're teenagers? Do we wait to teach them about God until they're teenagers? Do we wait to teach them about right and wrong until they are teenagers? What's that magic age that we start to teach them? We shouldn't wait. We shouldn't wait to teach them about any of that. And so we shouldn't wait to teach them about what to wear as well. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." We're being told here that we need to teach our children from the time that they are rise in the morning to the time that they sleep at night. We need to teach them day in and day out the commandments of God. It doesn't say to wait till they're teenagers. We do it from when they're very little. And we teach them, get them into that mode of understanding. Adam and Eve made for themselves coverings based on what they thought was appropriate. But even with the coverings, they still considered themselves naked. They hid. They hid from God, even with the fig leaves on. So, were the coverings appropriate? Genesis 3:21. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them." So God made tunics and clothed them based on his standards. As the fig leaves that Adam and Eve made, obviously and apparently, were not appropriate. They didn't meet up to the standard that God had established. So a question arises. What is nakedness? What is nakedness? It seems kind of a obvious question or an obvious answer. Well, it's your birthday suit. Well, I think it's more than that. In Exodus 28:42, defines it as, "You shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thigh." This is where God has given commandments to Moses of what the high priest should be wearing. God didn't want their nakedness exposed. He made a tunic He made an apron. But guess what else that he commanded? He commanded that they wear trousers to cover their nakedness, their exposed thighs. We see those around us who wear miniskirts, swimming attire, short shorts, cheerleading uniforms, and so forth, expose their thighs. This is nakedness in God's eyes. They are naked before all mankind, based on God's definition. Some may claim these items they wear, well, they come down to my knees. Tabby, when she was at Florida College, she had the requirement that they had to kneel down in the dress or the short, whatever they were wearing, had to touch the floor when their knees were bent down on the floor. That knee line, she called it. But is the thigh still exposed when sitting down or if your legs are crossed? We have to make the decision if the clothes we wear are appropriate. Are they modest? Are they covering our nakedness? But does this mean that we should do away with fashion altogether? 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner, also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Some take this scripture as saying women can't wear jewelry. They can't go to a hair salon, wear makeup, buy nice clothes. Yet this scripture arguably focuses on one's godly identity. That's the focus. Modesty is a term people have made ambiguous. We have made that ambiguous. Mankind has made it ambiguous. And Satan, he likes ambiguity. He's cheering. Yeah, way to go. There are those who wear apparel to communicate what they think is important. There are those who work out, and they want to show their physique. They're proud of their bodies. They want to show how much money they have, so they buy the nicest apparel. It really glitz up. Get that bling going. They are in with the latest fashions. Hey, I'm stylish, you know. I'm with the in crowd. You know about that from high school, right? The in crowd. These should not be the driving force among God's people. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Apparel doesn't guarantee a proper inward spirit. A parent can project righteousness, but it takes an inward spirit to actually show what's really in one's heart. What is he saying here, or what he is saying, is you can project a good image, but if your inward spirit is not right, that husband may not be converted. Because what he needs to see in the wife is her inward purity, a meek and quiet spirit. That means she's in subjection first to God and then to her husband. It's called leadership by example. Leadership by example. A husband will truly know who his wife is. A husband really knows who his wife is. And so he's not going to be fooled about the outward appearance. Now, is he? Now, she could put on the most modest clothes in the world, but that doesn't guarantee she has a godly inward spirit. Now that's a warning to all of us. Many think that what we wear outwardly reflects the inward spirit. But again, we can fool ourselves and we can fool those around us. But God knows our heart. Jesus discussed this in his ministry. Matthew 23, verse 25, again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, Hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So again, we can fool others around us. We can't fool God. When we come to God, is it to change our outward appearance, or is it to change what's inside, our inward appearance? It should be for an inward change, but you know what? Once we change inside, the natural flow is that our outside will change as well. What is worn outwardly matters. It does matter. It matters to God. What is worn inwardly must be emphasized, though, what is worn outwardly. But it does matter what is worn outwardly. What is worn outwardly must reflect what is godly inwardly. If we are wearing something that is revealing our nakedness, it will be very hard to channel someone's mind and heart towards God. It may cause a stumbling block if we are not properly dressed. For example, immodest apparel can be tough for those serving the Lord when they're serving the Lord's Supper. If they're passing around the plate and they come upon a woman whose dress is too short, revealing their thigh, or their top is revealing too much cleavage, their shoulder, their back. The focus should be on God, yet they are being tempted. They're being tempted. Some say it's not their problem if others sin because of what they are wearing. It's not their problem. If they can't control their thoughts, their problem, not mine. What kind of attitude is that? But yes, we need to all control our thoughts. That's true. Matthew 5:28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So that's true. We need to control our thoughts. But men and women both need to do their part. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this: not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. There's responsibility on both our parts for men and women. We don't necessarily have to throw all fashion sense away, but God said there is a sense of appropriateness and modesty. And if it's not modest to wear to church, is it really appropriate anywhere else? Aren't we supposed to be light unto the world? An example, just as that believing wife was and is to that unbelieving husband. Here's a list of reasons we give to dress immodestly. First one, it's all I have. Well, it is time to get a new wardrobe. It may take some time, but eventually we can get there. In past years, the poor, in addition to the work clothes, had a pair of bib overalls for their services, or a nice Sunday dress. There's a distinction. Work clothes and one set of nice clothes for services, for worship. May not have been fancy, but it was a distinction that they made. And I know a preacher one time, he had just one suit, and he only had like three or four white shirts. That's what he wore all the time. He wasn't concerned. They weren't concerned back then about wearing that same dress over and over again. What are the women at church going to think? I wore this last week. Who are we dressing to please? Are we dressing to please each other? Are we dressing to please God? Are we dressing to represent who we are? Christians. We don't really have to have a lot of outfits, but let's make the ones we have modest and appropriate. Second reason, I look good in this. It accentuates my physical attributes that God blessed me with. It's not about us, but what are we to project? We are to project Christ in us. Again, that inward spirit, that inward man that we have that is supposed to be of God. That godliness, that holiness that's supposed to be in us when we become Christians. That's what we're projecting. That's what we need to look good. To show others around us that we're Christians. Not that we can be maybe on the cover of Muscle Magazine. This is who I am. Again, aren't we Christians first? God wants us to show who we are following. When we become Christians, do we not clothe ourselves with Christ? Our dress should reflect that. Because we are no longer of this world. We are citizens of Christ's kingdom. That's where our citizenship lies. And there's a dress code in Christ's kingdom. I couldn't find anything decent in the store. You know, we can help each other. And yes, it may be difficult to find clothes, especially when the fashions are what they are today. But we need to talk to each other. Find out where others shop. Do they alter their clothes? If they buy a nice outfit, but it's showing too much cleavage, you know, a lot of women put a little piece of cloth that goes across to cover up. Or maybe people are making their own outfits. Got a lot of talented women out there who can sew and make their own clothing. And then with the internet today, we have everything at the touch of our hands. There's people out there, small mom and pop shops, that have modest apparel. We just need to find those on the internet. And then share those links with each other. We need to help each other out. This is a clothing that is appropriate for my activity. Going to the beach, playing a particular sport or hobby, a fancy night out on the town. There are some sports where a prostitute is dressed more modestly. Think about that. We had the Summer Olympics here, watching television. Beach volleyball. My goodness. They're wearing dental floss. How disgusting. You know, that's almost a throwback to the Olympic days. When the Olympics first started, they would participate in the nude. Women were not allowed at the Olympics. Or at least married women were not allowed at the Olympics. Probably one of the reasons why. But for the sake of the sport, it's okay. I'm an athlete. It's okay to wear the inappropriate clothing. Maybe we consider if we need to participate or not. Maybe we need to consider whether or not we should go to the beach. Well, everybody else is wearing it. Who are we conforming to? Conforming to the world and their standards? Or there again, should we be conforming to the standards and the dress code that God establishes? Sometimes, it's out of ignorance. Well, we just don't know. We just don't know. But you know what? That's why we have each other here as Christians. We teach each other. We have Bible classes. We have lessons. We have that leadership by example within the church. But we need to instruct out of love, off on the side. Older women to guide the younger women. We're commanded that. But you know what? The younger women, we need to be open and humble and be able to listen to the guidance that we're being given. It's a two-way street here. We are here to help each other to that final goal that we all are striving for, to be in heaven someday. We should welcome feedback, loving feedback, because we want to please God. That's our desire. We want to make it to heaven. And if we don't know what the standards are to get us to heaven, We should welcome that guidance to show us in the Scriptures, hey, look, you're not wearing proper clothing. It doesn't have to be a service. It could be downtown or when you're going to school, whatever, and people see you, pull you aside. You think this really immodest? Are you really showing who you are by wearing this attire? So I don't want to generalize. That usually gets you in trouble. But fashion is more of a concern for women. And the Scripture puts more of an emphasis on what women should wear. But men, don't think you are not subject to the same word. We are subject to those standards as well. There needs to be a moral barometer within ourselves based on the Scripture. The moral barometer inside based on the Scripture. We need to be shameful. We need to have that shame back in our lives as Adam and Eve had when the first thing they noticed upon eating the knowledge, the fruit of the knowledge, is that they were naked. We need shame back in our lives. If someone fails to dress appropriately, how should we deal with the situation? I'd like to share a story I heard a while ago. It's written by Shirley Ward. I saw him in the church building for the first time last Wednesday. He was in his mid-70s, thinning, silver hair, neat brown suits. Many times in the past, I had invited him to come. Several other Christians, friends, have also talked to him about the Lord and tried to share the good news with him. He was a well-respected, honest man with so many characteristics a Christian should have, but he had never put on Christ. I had asked him a few years ago, have you ever been to a church service in your life? We had just finished a pleasant day of visiting and talking. He hesitated. Then with a bitter smile, he told me of a childhood experience some 60 years ago. He was one of many children in a large, impoverished family. His parents had struggled to provide food with little left for housing and clothing. When he was about 10, some neighbors invited him to worship with them. The Bible class had been very exciting. He had never heard such songs and stories before. He had never heard anyone read from the Bible before. After class was over, the teacher took him aside and said, "Son, please don't come again dressed as you are now. We want to look our best when we come to worship the Lord." He stood in his ragged, unpatched overalls, looked at his bare, dirty feet, and said, "No, ma'am, I won't ever." And I never did, he said, abruptly ending our conversation. There must have been some other factors to have hardened him so, but this experience formed a significant part of the bitterness in his heart. I'm sure the Bible teacher meant well, but what if she had studied and accepted the teachings found in the second chapter of James? What if she had put her arms around that dirty, ragged little boy and said, "Son, I'm glad you are here, and I hope you will come every chance you get to hear more about Jesus." I prayed that I might ever be open to the tenderness of a child's heart and that I might never fail to see beyond the appearance and behavior of a child to the eternal possibilities within. Yes, I saw him in the church house for the first time last Wednesday as I looked at that immaculately dressed old gentleman lying in his casket. I thought of the little boy long ago. I could almost hear him say, "No, ma'am, I won't ever." And I wept. Again, we don't have, or we don't, excuse me. What we do when somebody is dressed inappropriately or immodest, what do? We need to approach them in a loving manner. It needs to be out of love. We're to help each other. Again, we all want to go to heaven. That's our goal as Christians. And we need to help each other out of love. You know, James 5, 19 through 20, and Galatians 6 and 1 talks about how we need to approach a brother who's fallen away. That applies too on how we approach a brother when they have some issues on how to wear clothes appropriate for being a Christian. 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love, talks about love. Love is not rude. Love is being about caring for that individual. Wanting to help them, not to embarrass them, not to make them feel bad. But yet we have a responsibility to teach each other. What about worship? How should we dress to be modest or appropriate in worship? Our worship should show a reverence to God, a holiness. If we take what is holy and act toward or use it in an ordinary or secular manner, we profane what is holy. Thus, it's important during worship service that we not act towards God as though He is like us. Our worship is not just an ordinary gathering. We assemble to honor and glorify God. In Exodus 19:10-11, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. There was preparation there. There was a sense of purpose. They were getting ready to see the Lord God Almighty. And He had a commandment on how He wanted them to be presented. It mattered to God how the people presented themselves before Him. If we deem it important to dress in our best clothing to honor a couple getting married, or to show respect at a funeral for a friend, doesn't reverence demand we dress respectfully when we gather to worship our Almighty God? Does this count for Sunday evenings too, when typically we dress down? Are we sending a message about the importance we place on the Sunday evening worship service? We should always dress concerned about serving God, showing that we care. T-shirts may be modest, but what's the message on it? Metallica, Kiss, AC/DC, or your sports team. Are they really appropriate, especially to wear while participating in service? Up here leading the Lord's table, saying a prayer, leading song service, or even giving a lesson? Is that the message that we're saying? We were representing Christ by wearing a t-shirt with that type of symbology on it? Is that appropriate? It may be modest. Again, you're covered up. But is it appropriate? In addition, some dresses are way too revealing. Again, the back showing, strapless, lots of cleavage, long skirts, but yet they have a slit all the way up to their thigh or even up to their waist. What's appropriate? Bottom line, in determining what we wear, we need to remember who we represent and base our decision on the guidance given to us in Scripture. We need to remember one very important thing. Just one thing. We are Christians. We're Christians. Well, this morning, my lesson was geared towards Christians. But if you're not a Christian, and you study the Scriptures and come to an understanding of what you need to do to become a Christian, to become a citizen in this kingdom, to be saved on that day of judgment, we have the water ready. And if you are a Christian and you sin in a public manner, and you like the prayers of the congregation, now's the time. Whatever your needs, please come as you stand and sing.